Begin the current daf, Masechet Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Tes. Begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the middle of the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding planting vegetables beneath an Asherah Avodah Zarah tree during the winter months. The Chacham said that it's permitted. Rabbi Yossi said it's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because the foliage falls down from the Asherah tree, which is forbidden to have benefit from it, and it acts as fertilizer for the vegetables, thus contributing and making it Asr. On that, the Gemara said, seemingly Rabbi Yisi holds Zeb is a Goyim is Asr, because you have two causations. You have that of the Asherah tree, which is fertilized, and you have the ground itself, which is permitted. And although one of them is permitted, one of them is forbidden, Rabbi Yisi says that it's forbidden to have that benefit, which you see Zeb is a Goyim, although one is permitted, one is forbidden, the product is going to be forbidden. On that, as the Gemara from the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel, where Rabbi Yisi said that if one grinds the idol and throws it to the wind, although the Chachamim say it's forbidden because it's going to act as fertilizer, he says it's permitted. Obviously, because he holds Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter. And then the Gemara answered, no, the truth is he holds Zeb HaZegoyim is aser. Over there, the reason why it's permitted is because the grinding down was already mevatlet. And therefore, there's no Zeb HaZegoyim. They're both actually gramim of heter, and therefore it's permitted. But like we see in our Mishnah, he holds Zeb HaZegoyim is aser. And that our Gemara asked, does he hold that it's aser? But the Mishnah asked from Mishnah Masechtas Arlo, which the Amiram had explained his halacha, as we find the Braisa teaching, which goes on the top of this Amid, where if someone takes a forbidden fruit, a nut of an Arlo tree, which the fruits are forbidden for the first 3 years, and he plants it, that the produce that's going to grow from that tree is going to be permitted. So though it's Zeb HaZegoyim, the fruit is forbidden, and it's contributing to the growth of the tree that grows from it. But the ground that helps it also grow is permitted, that we see that the product is going to be mutter. So you see that holds Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter, which contradicts the halacha of Mishnah, that he says Zeb HaZegoyim is aser. That's why Gemara continues and says as follows. V'chitem, and if you're going to say, no, it's no difficulty. Shani le Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yisi differentiates between shari surim la v'itzkechavim, between other prohibitions, where although, yes, by other isurim, like we find that Mishnah Masechet this Arla regarding the halachas of Arla, that Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter, but he holds over here in our Mishnah regarding Avodah Zarah, which the laws of Avodah Zarah are more stringent, that there Zeb HaZegoyim is aser. And that is the Gemara, Umi Shanile, does he differentiate? But Vatani will learn the Braisa seems to indicate that no, that even by Avodah Zarah, he's still going to hold Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter, not like the halacha of our Mishnah. Because Vatani will learn as follows. The Braisa says, Sadushin is dabla bezevel of itzkechavim, regarding a field that was fertilized with the fertilizer of idols. Or v'chem parish in this patma b'karshin avayt zkechavim, or a cow that was fattened with the vetch of avayt zarah, meaning either it was from the tikrabis of the avayt zarah, the what was sacrificed to the idol, or the vetch itself was worshipped. So Tanei Chada, we have one brace that says, oh, so sadat tizara, still the field could be sown, could be planted, paratishachit, the cow could be slaughtered. Now, Vatan Yidach, we learned another brace regarding the same case, that no, Sadu Tavar, the field has to lie fallow until it loses all the gain that it got from the fertilizer, and it has to lay there and not be planted. And Upara Te Raza, and the cow has to wait till it becomes lean, till it loses the fat that it got from the Avodah Zarah vetch, from that type of food. Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it that ha, this brace that says that the field can be planted is Reb Yaisi, who we already learned from him that he says regarding the laws of Arla, that Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter. Here also, it could be planted, and the growths that come from the forbidden fertilizer, together with the permitted ground, is going to be permitted, so therefore you could plant it. And that is because he does not differentiate between Avodah Zarah to other Isurim, and that he always says Zeb HaZegoyim mutter, which that's difficult on our Mishnah, where he says Zeb HaZegoyim is aser. So too, the cow could be slaughtered and eaten, because there also the cow grew before it ate this vetch, this karshina of Avodah Zarah, from other foods. So it became fat from Avodah Zarah and from other things, which is Zeb HaZegoyim, which is mutter. So you see, Rabbi Yossi holds even Avodah Zarah, Zeb HaZegoyim is mutter. And Vaha, the other brace that says that, no, the field has to lay fallow, where it's saying Zeb HaZegoyim is aser, is Drabanan, who they say, as we had in the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel, that you can't even grind down the Avodah Zarah and throw it to the wind, because then it becomes fertilizer for fields, and that Zeb HaZegoyim, we see they hold that it's aser. Now, although in our Mishnah they permit to plant the vegetables beneath the Asherah tree, even though you're going to have the foliage fall down, that's going to be Zeb HaZegoyim, and that we already answered in the previous stuff, because they hold whatever the gain is going to be from the foliage is a loss in the shade that it's going to be. So that's not even called Zeb HaZegoyim, it's all going to be, and it's not going to be any gain. So therefore it's going to be mutter. But Zeb is a Gerem is Asa. So seemingly you cannot say to answer, to resolve the question from the Mishnah, Arle in our Mishnah, that say Rabbi Yossi differentiates, because you see clearly from this Braisa, because who else is this opinion, that Rabbi Yossi holds that Zeb is a Gerem is always going to be Mutter, even by the Zar. So the Gemara, you know, that although we had assumed that how are we going to explain these two Braises is Rabbi Yossi and his disputants, so the Gemara, no, it's not the case. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, the one that's stringent is Rabbi Eliezer. Vaha, Rabbanan, and the one that permits it is the Rabbanan. But, however, the Gemara retains its approach that it was hypothesizing before. According to Rabbi Yossi, by Avodah Zarah, he holds, like we learned in our Mishnah, that Zeb Zeh Agarim is Aser. Now, what do we do with the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel that says that you could grind it and throw it to the wind? So that we already answered on the previous daf, because since he's doing it to La'avda, to go to waste, to be destroyed, so therefore that is a bitl, and therefore there's not even any Zeb Zeh Agarim over there with the permitted ground and the forbidden fertilizer of the ground on Avodah Zarah, because it's not even considered an Avodah Zarah. And what do we do with the Mishnah Masechtas Arla? That's what the Gemara is saying, that yeah, Rabbi Yossi differentiates between Avodah Zarah and other Yisurim. By Avodah Zarah, he holds Zeb Zeh Agarim is Aser, and by other Yisurim, like by Arla, he holds Zeb Zeh Agarim is Mutter. And who are these two Braises? That's different opinions, not Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Hai Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan. Which Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan are you talking about that you want to say they're the ones who are these two Braises regarding this field that was fertilized with Avodah Zarah, or the cow who was fattened with Avodah Zarah? Says the Gemara, Elam Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan this Ar. If you're going to say it's Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan regarding sourdough, we did not. We'll learn the Mishnah B'Seklis Arla as follows. Sa'ar Shel Chulin Vishal Truma. You have sourdough which is from Chulin produce, and you have sourdough from Truma. Shenaflu Techeis that falls into a dough of Chulin. Now, Loi Bezeka De L'chametz, neither, it is not enough in this sourdough to leaven the dough. V'Loi Bezeka De L'chametz, it's not enough in this sourdough to leaven this dough. Now, when it's tarif of v'chimtzu, but these two sourdoughs, the one of the chulin and of truma, together combine to leaven that dough. So we have a machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, "Acher ha'acher nani bo." He says, "I go based on the last leaven, the last sourdough to fall in. The one that falls in last. If the chulin one falls in last, then it nullifies the first one. Although the first one was truma, and if truma leavens it, it's considered truma." Since the last one was chulin, then it would be permitted for non-kahanim. If the last one to fall in is truma, then it's going to be forbidden for zar. That's what Blazer says. But chacham ayrim, they say, no, bein shenafal isalik etchila, whether the forbidden one falls in first, or bein shenafal isalik b'sayif, whether the forbidden one, meaning the truma, falls in last, eina aser, the dough is not going to be forbidden, achehe b'kedei l'chametz, unless the truma by itself has enough to leaven the dough. Here, where it's only in combination with the chulin one, no matter if it falls in first or last, it's going to be permitted, not like Blazer. So the Gemara continues, and the Bayit said, "Loi shanu." We didn't learn that Rabbi Eliezer had said that if the last one is chulin, that the dough is going to be permitted. Ela shekodem v'silik esa is. That's only if the truma sourdough was taken out before the chulin one, which fell in last, fell in. So therefore, when the chulin one falls in last, you cannot say what's called hetem and starf le'iser, that the permitted sourdough of chulin is combining with the prohibited one of truma to be a measurement of prohibiting the dough as truma. Because although the truma sourdough gave some leavening to the dough, and it wouldn't be able to, for the chulin one, to leaven it without the truma one that fell in first, even so, since the truma one didn't have enough to leaven it on its own, and it's not around anymore, so you can't say, Zeb Zeh Agarim. And therefore, the second one is nullifying the first one. That's when, says Abai, Rabbi Eliezer said, the dough is going to be permitted for non-kahanim. Avol loy kodem v'silik esa issa, but says Abai, if let's say when the chulin one which fell in last, the truma sourdough had not been taken out of the dough, even though the chulin one fell last, says Abai, there Rabbi Eliezer would agree that aser, then the dough would be forbidden, because that would be considered zev v'zegarim. Now they're both working on it together, on the dough to leaven it, the truma one with the chulin one, then it's going to be forbidden. Where, according to Rabbanan, they hold that no, zev v'zegarim is mutter. They said that even if it's there both at the same time, if the truma one does not have on its own enough to leaven, it's going to be mutter. So you see that this is the machlekes of the previous prices, not the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, we answered, he holds zev v'zegarim, It's going to be different by Avodah Zarah. It's going to be aser, and by other halachas it's going to be mutter. This one that you see that it's going to be even mutter by Avodah Zarah, That's the end. And one braisa says aser. That's machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan. Rabbanan say it's mutter, and Rabbi Eliezer says that it's aser. That has the Gemara. Baru memai did time and Rabbi Eliezer kedabaya. How can you say that this is the understanding of these two braises? Who said that the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer is like the way Abaye explained it? Dilma time and Rabbi Eliezer mishum the acher nani ba. Maybe the understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is different than the way Abaye said it. Maybe it's just because we go based on the last one to fall in. Why? Because maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that whatever is concludes, like the quote hakol ha'ochel acha agmar, that whatever concludes the if it concludes it in the forbidden way, then forbidden. If it concludes in the permitted thing, if the last thing is permitted, like chulin, then it's going to be permitted. And that it says the Gemara, igama bi sura asura. If it finishes off, the last one is truma, and that leavens it, that's the final touch, then it's asa. Vigama bi hetera mutarn. And if it finishes with the chulin one, then it's permitted. Bein salke u bein loy salke. Whether the truma one had been taken out, whether it had not been taken out. And therefore it would come out that if, let's say, they both fallen at the same time, I would tell you that Rabbi Eliezer would hold that it would be permitted. And that would be considered zev as a gayrim, which is mutter. So how can you say Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says Aster and Rabban says it's mutter? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer also holds Zev Zeh Gerim is mutter. Here the reason why, and that's because his halacha over here that's saying is mutter, it's not like the way Abaye qualified, only if you took it out. Maybe even if you didn't take it out, it would still be mutter. So therefore you have no proof to explain that these two brises, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban, because there's no indication that's clearly telling us that that is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban. So Ella says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer Rabban de Eitzim. No, rather it's a different machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan regarding wood, which we would see that they are these two braises, and again, therefore, that wouldn't be difficult to say that it's Rabbi Yosi, because if it's Rabbi Yosi, then we would be stuck with the question of the Mishnah in Orla and our Mishnah. What's the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan? It's not, like we're in the Mishnah, which quotes this on Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Amud Beis says, Natal Hemenu Eitzim. If someone takes wood from an Asherah tree, which is forbidden, Asur Bana, it's forbidden to have any benefit from those branches. Now, Hisik Basataner, if someone took those branches and used it to fire up an oven, so it depends. Chadash yutatz. If it's a new oven, which is being finished right now, firing it up is what actually solidifies it into an oven. One has to shatter and break that whole oven because now it was made and it was fortified from Isur Hana, from something that's forbidden of benefit, and that goes into the oven, and therefore that's forbidden. Yashan, however, if it's an old oven which was already strengthened, and this heating up is not to strengthen the oven, it's only to bake bread inside of it, then Yutzan, then one has to wait till it cools off. In other words, he cannot bake with this heating which was made with the firewood of the Asherah tree, and when it cools off, so then he's not benefiting from the Avodah Zarah tree, and therefore he could now bake something else in it. Now, says the Mishnah later, Afa by Sapas. Let's say someone baked bread with that branches of the Asherah tree, which, depending on what type of oven we're talking about. With a new oven, that would mean, even if it cools off, and then he goes and reheats it with permitted wood, but still one is benefiting from the Asherah tree, because that made the oven itself. Or we could be talking about, let's say, with an old oven, but it was fired up with these forbidden branches of the Asherah tree, where both of these types of cases we just described are what's called Zev Zeh Gerim. Because, let's say, in the case of the bread that was baked in a new oven, but in the second heating up, which came through a Gerim of Isser. Why? Because the oven itself was fortified from the first firewood, which was Asherah tree, and also with a garm of heter, which is the second heating up, which was from permitted firewood. So says the Mishnah, Asur Bahana, which we see Zeve Zeh Garm is Asur, that the bread is going to be forbidden to have any benefit from it. Now let's say in this Arva Bacherim, let's say this bread got mixed into other breads, Kulan Asur is Bahana, so all the breads are forbidden to have benefit from it. Now Rabbi Yazoim, he says, Yelich Hana, says you could throw the benefit, which is the value of the fire, of the forbidden firewood, which is there's a benefit from it, whether in the new oven or in the old oven, whichever one, but there's a benefit from that. That benefit he could throw Liyam HaMelech to the Dead Sea, and that would go ahead and get rid of that benefit. And then the breads would be permitted. But one thing we see is that it's forbidden. It's just a machlikas regarding what could you do to ameliorate that, to take care of that. But one thing is that we see that Zev is a goyrim. Although the firewood, it's the forbidden wood from the Asherah tree, is not everything, it's only part of it, the cause, but there's a permitted cause, whether it be from the second heating or from the old oven, that it's going to be Aser, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So you see that Zev Zeh Gerim he holds is Aser. Now, the Mishnah continues, Amrulai, they said to him, no, ain't pidyon l'avodas kechavim. No, you can't do what you said, because there's no redemption for avodas. You can't redeem it and take the value, what's Aser, and throw it into the thing. No, rather, everything's forbidden. But one thing you see is that Rabbi Eliezer says it's aser, and we could say that the Rabban who disagree with him hold that it's mutter, and that's the previous two brises. Well, that has the Gemara, but then Rabban and the Pliga led Rabbi Eliezer manin. Okay, so you found that Rabbi Eliezer says that Zibaz Agarim is aser by Avodah Zarah. And you could say he's the brice that says that the Sada has to be Tover and the Par is Teraza. But who's the Rabbanan that you're saying who disagree with him that say that it's Mutter? Initially we thought that was Rabbi Yesi, and therefore that was a difficulty regarding the contradiction for the Halacha of our Mishnah. But we want to say that Rabbi Yesi holds that Zev is a Germ is Asa by Vidazar. By other Halachas it's Mutter like by Arla. So who's Rabbanan who say that it's Mutter by Vidazar? Says the Gemara, Elim Rabbanan Eitz. Maybe if he's going to say it's Rabbanan in this Mishnah regarding the firewood, to the contrary, Achmur Machmer, if anything, they're more stringent than him. Yeah, he says Zev is a Germ Asa, but he says, but you can ameliorate that by throwing the value into the sea and then use those breads. They're more stringent. They say you can't even do pigeon. So Elo, what are you going to say? Rabbanan Disa'ir. It's Rabbanan of the previous Machlegis that we quoted regarding the sourdough, where they disagreed with him and they said, no, Zev is a Germ is Mutter. Because they said, as we quoted, that even if the Truma falls in last, it's going to be Mutter. Because it doesn't have enough of the Truma to leaven it on its own. For sure, when they fall in at the same time, until you have enough of the Isser to make it leaven on its own, it's going to be Mutter. So you see, that's the Machlekes. They're the ones who hold Zev Zegayim is Mutter. And that is the Gemara. But Eimed Hashamel Rabban and the Mekili Bisar. But where do you find the Rabban disagree with Belaza and Orlin and say Zev Zegayim is Mutter? That's by sourdough. But Voidis Kachav Mi Mekili? But are they lenient? I mean, that's regarding the laws of Truma. But regarding Avodah Zarah, who said that they're lenient and they hold that Zev Zegarim is Mutter, as our Gemara is discussing, that maybe laws of Avodah Zarah, as we want to say for Yesi, is more chamer, and then we say Zev Zegarim is Aser. So where do we find a Rabbanan who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer to explain who those previous prices are if we're trying to say it's not Rabbi Yesi that holds by Avodah Zarah, Zev Zegarim is Mutter? So El Rav, the Gemara concludes, La'aylam ha, the truth is that, yeah, the previous two prices that we started off the daf is Rabbi Yesi and the Rabbanan. And the one who says that the field could be planted is Rabbi Yesi. Where, because we find that he says, like by the laws of Arla, that Zev Zegarim is Mutter. And we find so too by Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah of Mem Gimel, which we quoted in the previous daf, that he says you could take the idol, grind it up, and throw it to the wind. And we're not concerned that it's going to be falling into the field because it's Zev Zegarim and it's Mutter. And yes, Rabbi Yesi does not differentiate between Avodah Zarah and other Isurim. And Vahar Rabbanan, the other Brisa, is Rabbanan, who they disagree, and they say that Zev Zegarim is Aser. Now, however, the reasoning of the halacha that he says you let a grind of a desert and throw it to the wind is not as we had explained, that we had said, oh no, he holds Zev Zegarim is Aser. But when you throw it to the wind, it's not Zev Zegarim because it's going Le'ibrit, so it was really bottle, so it's not even a Garim of Iser. No, he always holds that Zev Zegarim is Mutter even by desert. But then the question is, which started a whole discussion on the previous daf when we explained the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, you're not allowed to plant vegetables beneath an Asherah tree. So he said, why? It says in the Mishnah, because the foliage is going to fall down. Which that sounds like, okay, so you're benefiting from the foliage, but that's only half of the cause. The other half of the cause is the permitted ground. That's Zev Zegarim. Doesn't that sound like Zev Zegarim is also Bavei Dazar? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael Devreim Drabbanan Amalahu. Rabbi Yisrael was going and responding to his disputants, and he was telling them as follows. Lididi, according to me, as we just explained, Zev Zegarim is Mutter, even by Avodah Zarah, when there's not the sole causation, the product is going to be permitted. But Lididhu, according to you, Damritu, Zev Zegarim Aser, that you say that when there's two causes are permitted and they're forbidden, then the product is going to be Aser. And like you say, I'll plant vegetables beneath an Asherah tree in the summer months, because the shade is good for it, but that's not the whole cause, that's only part. The other part is the ground. So obviously you hold Zev Zegarim as Aser. That was Rabbi Yisrael was telling them, then Oideli Mihas then agree to me at least then too, that Afi Rokis be Meisag Shamim. If you hold Zev Zegarim as Aser, then why do you say it's only forbidden in the summer? It should be forbidden even in the winter too. Because there is also a Zev Zegarim because they have the causation, not of the shade, but of the foliage. On that Rabbanan, they would tell to Rabbi Yisrael that no, because there's actually no Garim of Iser, because the gain that you get with the foliage, you lose with the shade, as we explained in the previous stuff, Kedamra Mori Beredav Kahana, where he said that it gets offset by the loss, and therefore that's not considered gain, and therefore there's no Zebezeg Garim, and that's why it's permitted. But when there is Zebezeg Garim, one of Aser, one of Mutter, then actually Rabbanan holds it's Aser, and Rabbi Yisrael holds it's always Mutter, even by Vaidazar. Now, the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yisi, Halacha Rabbi Yisi, that Zev Zegarim is Mutter, even by Avodah Zarah. The Gemara brings a story, Ahu Ginza, there was a garden, this Dabal Bezavla, Dabitz Kechavim, that was fertilized with the fertilizer of Avodah Zarah, meaning, that it came from the blood of the calves or the cows which were slaughtered for Avodah Zarah, which that's considered tikrevis Avodah Zarah, which is forbidden to have benefit from it. But if let's say someone said that, oh, let this fertilizer be designated for the Avodah Zarah, that does not become us, as the Gemara explained in the Braisa previously, the Mimdal Mabez, what's called Ein Hekdesh L'Avodas Kechavim. If you designate, that doesn't give it the status of Avodah Zarah. But it's talking about that it was actually slaughtered for Avodah Zarah, and then one takes that blood and uses it as fertilizer, and this garden was fertilized with that. Shalach Rav Amram Kamed Rav Yosef. Rav Amram sent the question in front of Rav Yosef. And Amalei, he said to him, Hachim, Rav Yehuda Meshmol, like we just quoted, Halacha Kreb Yesi, where Zev Zagarim is Mutter, and therefore, although the fertilizer is forbidden, but the ground is permitted, and they both contribute, and therefore, the product that grows from it is going to be permitted. Now, continuing to Amid Beis, where the Mishnah continues with these halachas of that Asheri tree. Not the Mena Eitzim. If someone takes, and we quoted this in Amid Aleph, someone takes wood from that Asheri tree, Asurim Banot, forbidden to have benefit from it because it's an Avodah Zarah. Hisik ben Satanim, let's say someone used that wood to heat up an oven. So Im Chadash Yutatz, if it's a new oven, so it's being solidified, it's being created with this heating up, so now that makes the whole oven forbidden, so it has to be smashed. V'myashin Yutzen, but if it's an old oven which is already solidified, it's just this heating is going to be heated from the oven, from the forbidden firewood, so it just has to cool down, and then you could use it with permitted firewood. Now, offer by sapas. Let's say someone baked bread with this forbidden firewood that heated it up. So, surbanos, that bread is forbidden to have benefit from it. Nesav bacheris, because that bread has that from that heat of the fire of the forbidden wood in it. Nesav bacheris, if that bread got mixed in with other breads, so kulnas turesbana, there's no bitl, they're all forbidden to have benefit from it. Now, Rabbi Yazayim, he says, what you could do is he agrees that it's going to be forbidden. But what you could do is you could take that benefit that you got from that firewood, and whatever benefit that's qualified as, you throw that benefit to the Dead Sea, and then that transfers the prohibited status to that money, which is thrown to the sea, and you could use these breads. On that Amulay, they said to him, no, there's no redemption for Avodah Zarah, the whole thing is forbidden. You can't transfer it and throw that value into the Dead Sea. Similarly, not lamenu karka, if someone takes a pick from the wood, from a tree, of a branch of an Asherah, asabana, that is forbidden to have benefit from it. Similar to the previous case, let's say he used that pick to weave a garment. Asabana, the garment is forbidden to have benefit from it. Nasar bacherim, that garment gets mixed with other garments. Oh, vacherim, bacherim, and those with others. Kul nasur mano, they're all forbidden to have benefit from it. Rabbi Yezo, I mean, he says, you could take the value of the benefit from the pick and throw it into the Dead Sea, and then you could use those other garments. Amulay, they said to him, no, ain't pit in lawaz kacham, there's no redemption of a desire, there's no way to go ahead and use those garments. So the Gemara Tzrichim, we needed both these cases of the Mishnah, which seems to be saying the same idea. Why the Ish mean Kamais? Had we said only the first case, that of the bread? But how come Rabbi Eliezer? We would say that maybe only the Rabbi Eliezer says that this pidyon, Mishum de Be'idna de Kogarma Paska, is at the moment that the bread is completed, Kaleila Asura, the prohibited item, that of the Vedzara, of the Asherah, of the firewood, has already been eliminated because it got burnt up. And now the bread gets baked. So it's not around anymore. We'd say, okay, so the actual of a dessert is not extant. We could say that the product is permitted. Aval karka, but regarding the pick, the isalei suru be'enei, where the pick is still around, eimei moed l'rabban, I would say the Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Rabban over there that it would remain forbidden and it wouldn't be any pidyon. And so to the opposite, v'yashmin b'karka, had we said only the case of the pick, b'hokam Rabban, I would say over there the Rabban say that there's no pidyon because it's still around the pick. Avol pas, but regarding bread, we say they agree to Rabbi Eliezer since the source of the Isser is not around anymore, got burnt up, then they would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that the bread that was baked from it would be permitted with pidyon. Tzricha, it was necessary to say both cases to tell us each of those opinions that they say it in both cases. Amar b'chia, b'reid, the rabbi, b'anachmeinu, amar b'chizda, amar z'iri, halach k'Rabbi Eliezer, halach k'Rabbi Eliezer, that there is pidyon, one could redeem and transfer the prohibited value to something else and throw that to the Dead Sea and then use those items. Ikidami, those say a different version of the transmission was Amr of Chizda, that Amali Abba Bar of Chizda, that Hachir Amaziri, this idea that Halacha Rabbi Eliezer, Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amr of Adabar Abba, he says, Loishan, we didn't learn that the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that there is pidyon for the prohibited status of the Avodah Zarah, Ela Pas, only in bread. Because as we said before, it's not recognizable the actual prohibition substantively in the bread. Because the bread was heated by the firewood of the Asherah, but the Asherah is not in the bread, that's what we say is permitted. Aval chavis, but a barrel of yayin nesef, they got mixed with other permitted barrels of wine, then he says, loy, that there we would say that they would all be prohibited to have benefit from it, and there would not be any rectification by throwing the benefit to the Dead Sea to permit and to sell each barrel individually or to give it to drink to his non-Jewish workers, because there the Isser is around. The actual Yain Nesach is in one of these barrels. What you could do, however, is you could sell all the wines that you have besides the value of the Yain Nesach, which now you're not benefiting at all from the prohibited barrel, then that would be permitted. But to sell each one and throw the value into Yam HaMelech, that you can't do, because that's the Isser is be'en, it's extant. Rav Chisda, he disagrees. He says, no, afilu chavos mutaris. He says, even if it's barrel of Yain Nesach mixed with other barrels, it would be permitted to do what Rabbi Eliezer says, to be paid to that one, throw that value to Yam HaMelech, and then sell each one individually. Now the Gemara brings a story related, Ahu Gavra, this Arvali Chavit in the Yain Nesach Bechamri. There was a certain person that had a barrel of Yain Nesach, of Avodah Zarah wine, that got mixed with his wine. And also came to Rav Chisda, who he just quoted his opinion, came in front of Rav Chisda. And Amr, he says, like his opinion is, Shekel Arba Zuzi Vishadi Benahara, take four Zuz, throw it into the river, Vinishrilach, and then that barrel is going to be permitted for you to have benefit from it, to sell each one individually, even though one of them is for Shoya Yain Nesach, but he's throwing that value into the Dead Sea, or to use the wine for washing, laundering purposes, or to give it to drink to non-Jews. Now Rashi points out that this machlekes is not the same as machlekes Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon later on the Ein Dal Mar Aleph regarding Yain Nesach that falls into a bur, into a pit, where we said that everything in that pit is going to be forbidden to have benefit, where Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, you could sell all of it to a non-Jew, except for the value of the Yain Nesach that's inside of it, because then you could say that actually both of those opinions hold like Rabban over here, where you cannot be paid the Yain Nesach. However, when you're selling it, besides for the value of the Yain Nesach that's inside of it, then you're not benefiting from the Yain Nesach, because the Isser is not there, that's permitted, but to actually go ahead and be paid to something, that's extant, that could be that they all agree with Rabbanan, that it would be forbidden. There you're not really doing that, you're just not benefiting at all from, you're not being paid, you're not benefiting at all from the Yain Nesach that falls into the pit. Now the Mishnah continues, next Mishnah says, Sekitza Mevatla, so we're talking about this Asherit tree, how does one nullify the Asherit tree that is not considered Avodah Zarah anymore? So it says the Mishnah, if Kirsim, let's say someone breaks off the dry branches in the tree, where he takes it for his own purposes to use it as firewood, or Vizirid, or he breaks off the moist branches because he wants to go ahead and use it, it could be edible, it could be for other purposes, or Notalimenamakal, a Shavrit, if he takes from it, from the Asherit tree, a stick, or a scepter, a fila Allah, even if he takes off a branch, but he's taking it for his own purposes, Hareza Batela, that has nullified the Avodah Zarah of the Asherit tree. But Shibel Tzarkov, let's say he smooths it out, he breaks off parts of the tree for the purposes of the tree itself to beautify it, because it's not nice to have all these dried out branches on it, then Asur, then it would be forbidden. But again, Shalayla Tzarkov, not for the Avodah Zarah's purposes, then Mataris, then it's permitted. Now the Gemara asks, Eisen Shapoin, those branches which were smoothed off from the Asherit tree, for the purposes of beautifying the Asherit tree, not to nullify it. Matahe alen, what's the halachic status of those branches that were shaved off? Are those batel or not? I mean, we said the tree in that case is not batel, it's still Avodah Zarah. What's with those things that were taken off to beautify it, those things which were like dried up branches, what's their halachic status? So the Gemara, pligi b'Rav Huna v'chiyah b'Rav. Chadamar Surin, one says that those branches that were broken off are forbidden, but Chadamar Mutar, one says they're permitted. Says the Gemara, Tani Kamadama Mutar, we have a brace that says, like the one who says that they're permitted. The Tani, like learned the brace, I mean, we can understand the one that says forbidden because that wasn't as a way of bittel, so it's still considered part of the Avodah Zarah. The one that says permitted, we learned the brace of Tani there, Oivi Kechavim, Sheshipa Avodah Kechavim Latarkai. A non Jew who smooths out the Avodah Zarah for his own purposes, and he wants to use it for firewood. Oh, then he v'shefer moter, and then he's treating it disrespectfully. So then everything, the tree itself and the branches, are permitted because he was mevatel avodah zarah. Letzarka, let's say he did it for the purposes of the Asherit tree. He asur, so then the tree remains asur. But v'shefer moter, but the things that were broken off, ultimately they're not considered part of the tree itself. And they weren't meant to retain its status. It was broken off not to be connected to it. Then we see like that mandama that it's going to be permitted. Continues the Braisa. The Yisrael Shashiba Avodah Zarah, and a Jew who smooths out the Avodah Zarah, then Bein Letzarka, whether he's doing it for the purposes of beautifying the tree or for his own purposes to use his firewood, he v'shafei asur, and then both the tree itself and the broken of branches are going to be forbidden because the Jew can never be mevatel avodah zarah, and therefore it retains its iser in both the tree and the branches. Now, idma we learned avodah kechov mishenashtabra. Now, avodah zarah that breaks by itself. So Rav Amar, he says, even though it broke by itself, tzarich levatel kol kisim ekisim. You have to nullify every single part, like every single branch, every single element, every single unit has to be broken off. Why? Because every single unit now becomes its own avodah zarah. So there was not enough to go ahead and do one bittel of one piece to help for the other pieces. Now each piece becomes avodah zarah. Ushmul Amar, he says, no, avodah kechav eina betela ela derech gedilas. No, avodah zarah does not become nullified only in its normal way of growth. Which Mert jumps in and asks, adrab, to the contrary. Derech gedilas mi mevatla. In a normal form of growth, is that a bittel? That's normal growth. That no one nullified it. Elahachem, rather, no, this is what Shmuel said. Ein avoitz kechav mitzarech levatel. An avodah zarah doesn't need to have bittel. Ela derech gedilasa. Only if it had broke in its normal form of growth, like by foliage. But here, where it broke, not in its normal way, it broke by itself, there, the worshipper would say, wait a second, the avodah zarah can't even save itself. As we said, the svara on daf mem alav mem beis, it's going to save me. And therefore, Shmuel holds that nah, the guy's not going to worship anything of it. The whole thing is batel. Whereas Rav says that no, that even though it broke, to the contrary, now he serves every single piece, because now each individual piece, he looks at his own avodah zarah, and one would have to be batel each and every piece. Says the Gemara, let's say that what's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel is in this idea that the mar savar avin l'shvarm. Rav holds that a person worships broken pieces. So each piece becomes an avodah zarah, and you have to mevatel each one. Shmuel says, no, a guy doesn't worship broken pieces. The thing broke by itself, it's worth a reitach. It has no value. The whole thing is, and the person not serving that. Is that the machlekes? So the Gemara, no, we could say the kulam avodah zarah. We could say that everyone agrees, even Shmuel, that a person would worship broken pieces when they broke by itself. And Rashi points out, although Shmuel said in the beginning of the paragraph of Malvim and Aleph that even broken pieces of the avodah zarah is permitted to have benefit from it for the one who finds it, we could say that over there it's because we didn't see that it broke by itself. Where there we could say that maybe the non-Jew broke it, and if we go after the majority, because an avodah zarah breaking by itself is not so common. So if he broke it, could be then, as we're saying, that yeah, then everyone, then it would be permitted to have benefit because he was mevatlet. Here we're talking about if it broke by itself. Broke by itself, yeah, then Shmuel would agree that a person would worship the broken pieces. So what's his machlokes? Why does he say you don't have to break, why don't you have to mevatel each and every piece? Because v'hacha b'shivi shivam k'mifugi. Here they're disagreeing regarding when broken pieces break themselves. Where Rav says the words kol kisim v'kisim sounds like it's a kisim of a kisim. It's a broken piece of a broken piece. So it's over there where Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Marasav or Shibi Shavam Asur, Rav holds that even broken of broken is forbidden. And if you have Mevatel each one. Marasav or Shibi Shavam Atam, Shmuel holds that, no, that even that broken of broken is permitted. No, the broken piece a guy would serve, and then that would be forbidden. But when it's broken of a broken, then he holds a person would not serve it, and therefore he holds that person does not have Mevatel left. Or Vibayisim, if you want, you could say a third approach. The Kulam Shibi Shavam Atam, no, that even Rav, everyone agrees that the broken of a broken is permitted. But v'hacha b'avodas kechav mishalcholis. So what's the machlokes they're talking about regarding if it breaks by itself and you have separate units that Rav says you have to mevatel each one and Shmuel says you don't have to? We're talking about an idol that's made up of small pieces, which is like shivri shvar, and it falls and the units, the pieces fall apart. Now, moreover, behedit shi'achal lachzir k'miflagi, where they're disagreeing regarding a case where a common or a regular person could put Humpty Dumpty back together again, could put the pieces back, where you don't need to have a professional or craftsman. What's machlokes? Marsav a Rav holds kibin the behedit shi'achal lachzir le'batla, since a regular person could put it back together again, so it does not become nullified because it's not totally gone. A person could just put it right back together again. So therefore, it is considered still avodah zarah, and one would have to mevatel by breaking the piece. However, Shmuel holds that it's not considered avodah zarah when it breaks to require betela to be nullified, ela derech gedilasa. Only if it's in its way that it grows, meaning when it's still extant. For example, like the halacha of our Mishnah of the foliage, where that shivri shvarm. For example, if let's say leaf after leaf falls, and if therefore the leaf itself, when it breaks into many pieces, Even so, and it falls and becomes into fertilizer, foliage, still it's going to be aser. Because that's the normal way of growth. The hainu urche, that's normal to be every single year like that. But over here, halav gidei lasehi. This is not in this normal way of growth. It's not normal to fall down and fall apart. And therefore, it's bottled by itself. V'ein tzrich levatlan, therefore, that does not have to be nullified. That's the third approach to say that's the machlekes, where Rav says, no, it can be put back together again, and therefore, it's not bottled. Where Shmuel holds that, no. If it falls apart in this normal way, so that would be considered not bottle. Because, yeah, should be shvarm, that when do we say that he says it's mutarm, is if it falls apart by itself, not in derech kedilasai, so that, therefore, that doesn't require bitl, and therefore it's already bottle. Hanulach kalat slam, we shall return to the third parak of Masechta Avodah Zarah, parak kalat slamim, and with that we begin the fourth parak, parak Rabbi Shmuel, which continues on the theme of the previous parak regarding if someone finds an Avodah Zarah and regarding its prohibited status of having benefit from it. So the Mishnah begins, Rabbi Shmuel, he says, Shalosh avanim zu b'tzad zu. Someone finds three rocks, three stones, one on the side of the other one. Now, and for sure this halach would be if he finds one rock on top of two, because that's actually the primary Avodah Zarah that we're discussing of what's called Markoilis, and that's how they start off this Avodah Zarah and they make it. They end up throwing more rocks and it gets bigger and bigger. But even if there are three at the side of one by the side of the other, if someone finds them b'tzad markoilis on the side of this Avodah Zarah, of the big markoilis, which was already served, and there are many stones thrown on that Avodah Zarah, now near that they find these three stones, one on the side of the other, asuras, those stones are forbidden, as the Avodah Zarah of Markoilis. But b'shtayim mutaris, if he finds two stones, then they're permitted, as Gemara explained the reason. Machamim, they say, well, it depends. Shenirisimai, if these rocks are visible, that with near the big markoilis that it looks like it fell from there, then asuras, then they're going to be forbidden, whether if there are three rocks or two rocks. But if they're not seen near the big markoilis, they're not near it, then mutaris, then they're going to be permitted even if there are three. Now the Gemara asks on this machlekes. Bishlam Rabban, we understand the opinion of Rabban and Kesavri Avdin Lashvar. We can understand that they hold that we serve the broken, meaning that all the rocks which are thrown onto the markoilis, they get added to the primary Avodah Zarah of the Markoilis, and they become one big Avodah Zarah. Now, when they fall apart, so they're considered, as we just discussed in the previous parak and a few lines before, they become broken parts of Avodah Zarah, but it's part of the Avodah Zarah. Now, moreover, right now the Gemara does not assume that the thrown rocks are considered tikrevis Avodah Zarah, as sacrifice of Avodah Zarah. Rather, it's considered as Avodah Zarah itself. So we could understand, nearest Imai, if these rocks are seen near the big Markoilis, the Ikalamememinei Nafal, where you could say that these rocks fell from the big one. So Asuris, we could understand that they're forbidden because they're considered parts of Avodah Zarah which fell apart, which should be Avodah Zarah forbidden. She'ein nearest Imai Mutaris, if it's not seen near it, it looks like it's not connected to it, then it's going to be permitted because it doesn't look like it fell from there. Eli Rabbi Shmuel, Micah Savbo, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel? What does he hold? Eivdin Lishvam, if he holds that we do serve and it's considered Avodah Zarah for the broken pieces of Avodah Zarah, well, afal tarti namalitza, then even if there are two, they should be forbidden. And the yein oivdin lishvam, and if we don't worship the broken pieces, afal tlas namalitza, then even if there are three, also shouldn't be, because it broke off. So what's the difference between two or three? Adam Rav Yitzchak Yosef Amar Yechon, he says as follows, he says, be a dua shenosha mimena, you're right. If it's obvious, if it's known that these rocks had broken off from the big markoilis, so divrei kol asuris, everyone would agree that it's going to be forbidden. Because it's Shivrei Avodah Zarah, which is forbidden. And moreover, he says this halach would apply even for those who hold that we don't worship broken pieces from Avodah Zarah. Because Hanamili, when does that opinion hold that? That's Avodah Zarah, that's by a regular Avodah Zarah, to lav hayna urche, which is not normal for it to break, and when it breaks, they just throw it away. They don't worship the broken pieces. Aval hacha, but over here by Markoila, is the mikara tivur mitfri, where initially, from its inception, it breaks. Why? Because the rocks that get added on and become part of the primary Avodah Zarah, they're not attached, they don't glue them on, they don't solder them on. The rocks fall down. So hainu urche, that's normative, and therefore everyone would agree that the rocks that fall down from it are still forbidden. Ki pligi b'stama, their machlekes is only when it's not known. As we continue on top of nunam and alf. Moreover, he qualifies. Bimakarabis nami, also if these rocks are nearby the big one, whether with an amma or a half amma, where you could say that it fell from the big one. So you're right. Divrei kol asuras, they're also, everyone would agree that these rocks are going to be forbidden. When do they disagree? When they're far away. Now the Gemara asks, how could you say that? But our Mishnah says, if he finds it near the Markoilis. Says the Gemara, yeah, my bitzar, what does it mean near it? Bitzar arba amas de day. It means near it in a distance of 4 amas. But it's not right next to it. That explains the Gemara as follows. Rabbi Shmuel Sabi, he holds eisen markoilis cotton, bitzar markoilis gadol. It's normative for the practice that they make a small markoilis near a big one. So, meaning, but it's not right next to it, so it's not obvious that it fell from it. Shalosh to damel markoilis. So when you have 3, which are similar to a primary markoilis, which is made 2 and 1 on top of that. So even though we have 3 on each side, but it's still 3, which is similar to the primary markoilis. And then Astur is that forbidden because we say that they made the small one near the big one. And however, they made a markoilis. It wasn't just 3 random rocks. Shtayim mutaris, but only 2 rocks. So what is this? It's not right next to it to say it fell from it. And neither is it a small one near a big one because it's only 2 and they make a markoilis only 3. Rabbanan Savi, ain't nice to markoilis cut mitzar markoilis gadol. Rabbanan say that no, people don't make a small one near a big one. And therefore, leishna shalish, leishna shtayim, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's 3 rocks or 2 rocks. Nirusimai, if it's seen near it, meaning if it's very close to the big markoilis, so then that's true, then it's forbidden because then we assume it fell from it. If it's not seen near it, then this is going to be permitted because then we don't assume that it fell from it, and neither do people make a markoilis cut and their markoilis gadol, and therefore it's not going to be forbidden even if it's 3 or more. That's the machlekes between in our mission between Mishmol and the Rabbanan regarding finding these rocks near the markoilis.